Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Yes, mate. Well, we've had a bit of this and a bit of that lately.
We have. This beautiful day here today, Peter. Gorgeous, green, lovely sunny day. Days have been relatively warm. Nights have cooled off, of course. But it's been really quite pleasant.
Oh, well, that's what we'd like to see, because in that way people will come out to the vineyard and come to the cellar door and enjoy some beautiful organic wine.
They can
even get it without a cough.
The blossoms have passed in the silk tree. It's to its pod stage now, but the leaves are still there
and beautiful.
In fact, the orchard, as you know, we have a 40-fruit tree orchard here. It got a second life after all this rain, Peter. The leaves were turning and starting to drop off, even though we were pumping water into it. And then early in January, when the rainy season hit us, it started to spring new leaves, and, you know, thought, gee, this is good, spring all over again.
Yeah, well, that's good in a way, because, I mean, you know, you can team that with whatever you like for sweets after meals, and yum.
Yeah, it is good, because it's replenished the groundwater and that, but it would have been nice to get that rain in spring, Peter, and not mid or late summer and fall. So it is a rainy period here. We're far enough north, Sydney is, and well, Newcastle is, the Hunter is for sure, maybe not quite Sydney, but we're far enough north that we get, when the wet season comes to the north, we get it too, you know.
No.
And of course, Sydney's been getting it. Everybody's been getting it. But we definitely do have a wet season. It's always a challenge in the Hunter to get the grapes off before the wet season comes. Yeah.
Understood. So where does that place, you know, all the vines and what you're growing now? Are you in good stead?
Well, Peter, the grapes were magnificent this year. The problem, of course, was the smoke taint from the bushfires.
Yes.
And, you know, the... we've talked about it at some length. I don't want to dwell on it too much. We made the decision. The problem is that growing the grapes is only a part of the cost. Making the wine and bottling and packaging it is a greater cost. And if you're going to make a wine that you're going to have to apologize for years, it's best sometimes to decide, gee, maybe we shouldn't do it this year. And we sort of took that attitude. We have enough wine, so we thought, you know, I hate to do it. We sold some of the grapes, because grapes are magnificent. But I'm told,
I like grapes.
Yeah, I'm told that the you know, the smoke taint can come in.
Sorry.
You're okay, mate. We'll get you on some of these good things we've been talking about, Peter.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, especially these things for older adults.
Yes, well, I hear me now, cod chap.
Yeah, talking about older adults, you know, this is not surprising. Study came out of England, actually. They studied 500,000 people, and they came up with something that everybody knows, and that is that low blood pressure kills older people. So,
yeah,
up to 60% increase for if you have low blood pressure and you're over 75 years of age, Peter. So, we've got to keep an eye on our blood pressure, Peter.
I think that's a good idea. Well, I don't suffer low blood pressure, but I am on medication for it, yes.
Yeah, well, that's good. But look, there was a really interesting article this morning, because this is something that I've been taking for quite some time for a different reason, and that's curcumin, or curcumin, however they want to pronounce it. I think curcumin is the correct way, which is the spice from turmeric.
Oh, right, okay.
Turmeric has become, you know, in the news a few times. I'm taking it myself for joints, because, you know, I've had a few old skiing injuries and from rugby from, you know, 50 years ago that give me a bit of trouble at night in particular. And I find that turmeric has helped me a bit.
Sure.
But this was an interesting study, Peter. Came out of University of South Australia in cooperation with a university out of Canada and one out of the United States. And what they've discovered is, in animal experiments, they've been testing these on our old friend the rat, I would say, the 98% human rat. They've shown that they've attached the minute particles of turmeric or curcumin to nanoparticles and into the body, and they found, the result is, and I'll read it, not only prevents cognitive deterioration, but also reverses the damage.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah, so I suggest to all our listeners, not that I've noticed that I've become more mentally acute in the last 6 months or so that I've been taking it, Peter, but it's one of those things. It's not particularly expensive. You don't have to take a lot of it. As I said, I'm primarily taking it for joint pain myself. But here they've got a definite multi-phased study showing that it's very good for your brain and for your memory, Peter, and it can reverse damage. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
you can get that tomorrow, today, you know, go to your chemist and get it today. So I would say, you know, why not? That's my answer, my question, Peter. Why not? Why not take it?
I guess there's probably a lot of things that we don't associate with add-ons that we have, and they're slowly discovering it.
Well, you know, it's like, as you know, Peter, I do take a few others. We've talked about on the air at various times, but everything that I take is a natural root or a natural herb.
Yep.
Now, a lot of the medicines we take, of course, are extracts from herbs and various other things. They're not all chemicals conceived in a laboratory. They take these particular things that they're looking for, compounds and chemicals that they're looking for, and concentrate them. But it's nice to be able to take, you know, something that's natural and is available, has been around for, you know, millions of years. So that's kind of the way I look at it, you know. And maybe one day we'll go over them. As you know, I take a couple of natural herbs which bolster the T cell count. And there was an interesting article about T cells too. They finally mapped the thymus, and the thymus is where our T cells are generated.
Oh, okay.
And so they've this came out of the Sanger Institute, and what they've done is they've mapped the T cells like through the human lifespan to try and understand how the thymus generates the T cells. And because without T cells, T cells, of course, are what fights abnormal cells in your body, particularly cancerous cells, of course, which we're all familiar with, but basically abnormal cells. So your human body's capacity to generate T cells is very, very important. And they're hoping this research will lead researchers to understand how to generate an artificial thymus and engineer, you know, improve therapeutic T cells. They've already done that. We've talked about it a couple of times in the lab. They've been able to do that. But maybe this will help them go even further. The engineered T cells that we talked about 2 or 3 months ago, if you recall, Peter, eliminated cancer from the test subjects 100%. Took it all out, any type of cancer, every type of cancer.
And so we're starting to win.
Yeah, so it's like these things, unfortunately, they take forever to get, you know, into the market and reproduce. In fact, we were talking yesterday, and I don't want to mention where we were talking about it because it's against the code, but talking yesterday that it's got to the point now, it takes so long in Australia to get some sort of treatments approved when they're based on sound university research, and they get available in other countries, Peter, and some countries like China, you know, they become available very, very quick, quickly once they're, you know, on the market. You know, people got to seriously think about going and getting on a, you know, a therapeutic program. You can't wait. If you've got terminal cancer, you can't wait 5 or 10 years for some therapy to be approved.
That's right. I mean, so basically, I guess these people need to get off their backside and get organized.
Yeah, well, you know, you understand it, because there was a big thing in Canada and the United States about people going to Mexico to get this apricot seed extract, you know, which proven in the end not to be harmful, but not particularly effective, very minute. And they were basically trying to stop charlatans, but that didn't stop them from those clinics from springing up in Mexico. But when you're talking about, you know, treatments that are produced in top medical research institutes and universities with proper research and track records, that's a completely different story, Peter. It's a function of how quickly can you get it into the market. And in some cases, like there are many, many treatments in Australia that are not approved, that are approved in the United States and Canada, probably be 5 years, 10 years before some of them are approved. It's just the way it
good.
Is. No, it's not good. So anyway, there's so many things have happened. So many breakthroughs have happened. That we're just in the wrong generation, we older folk, Peter, because, you know, they're making huge strides in these things. And, you know, we'll probably be, you know, looking down upon the wonderful medical marvels, Peter, by the time it gets to the general population.
Yeah, it's a shame that they take so long, but never mind. I guess slow but sure is their motto.
Well, there's been a few, you know, thalamide, you remember, and there's been a few really bad problems. But I believe that once it's approved in the United States, it should be approved everywhere. They have 10 times our resources, 10 times our capability for doing research, and they make all that available to everybody. But then we spend years and years and years, you know, thinking about trying to do our own research or whatever. It's reinventing the wheel on a regular basis, Peter.
Yeah, well, there's nothing worse than having 8 wheels instead of 4.
It's true.
You won't know which way you're going.
Unless it's a big truck.
yes. I'm glad you said that correctly, too.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, there's so many things. We only get to talk about one or two of them, Peter, on the radio program. We can't cover everything in that, but, you know, we read every week. I read, you know, 30 things that I would like to talk about and tell people about. But, you know, believe me, the rate at which these things are happening is it's just incredible.
Astronomical.
Yeah. So, and of course, as a part of this, keeping good health, Peter, nice organic wine.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say that. Oh, by the way, thank you, it did arrive.
Oh, good, good. I put some of our 217 Merlot in there, Peter. Oh, boy, is that ever a nice drop.
You know I like Merlot, don't you?
Oh, gee, this one's great. You know, it's we have quite a lot of it as well. So, in fact, I've been drinking it myself, the 217. I've switched from, not that the others, they're like some of our other reds, of course, won medals in open class. But, yeah, that 217 Merlot, which we didn't put in any shows, but it's a wonderful drop of wine.
Maybe you should have, mate. Now you can sit back and become very pleasantly.
Yeah. Pleasantly tipulated.
Yeah. That wasn't the word I was thinking of, but it'll do.
Yeah, we make them up as we go along, Peter.
Yes. Why not?
What about this? In fact, I meant to talk about that. We got this crazy doctor running around thinking we should shut Sydney down now. And, you know, I wish people that are not skilled in the areas that they speak on would keep their mouths zipped.
Yeah,
she may be a very good doctor, a GP, or a specialist, or whatever, but she's not a contagious disease person, and she's not a statistician, which contagious disease people are. you know, and it just it creates panic, you know. It's like the newspapers must love her. She was headlines for all day, 2 days, and you know, she's a wingbat as far as I'm concerned. Australia right now is in a phase where you can identify the prime carrier. If you can, in a little pocket outbreak, if you can identify the prime carrier and be able to step in and find all the people that he's been in contact with, you can solve that problem.
That's right.
It's when you lose control of the prime carriers, like they did in Italy. Of course, they did in China through denying the existence of the coronavirus. But in Canada, England, the UK actually, because it's in Northern Ireland, Scotland as well, the United States, we're still at the point where we can identify the prime carrier of an outbreak. And we can isolate that outbreak. We send everybody home for 14 days. We test everybody that had direct contact, send everybody home to self-isolate. And we work on that outbreak.
That's right.
You don't shut the whole place down. And that doesn't help you anyway to shut the place down, because people still have to go and get food. They still have to do that. Sure, you can stop events and close schools and do all those types of things. But people are still going to move around the community. Doesn't matter how you shut it down.
That's right.
What you have to do when you can isolate the prime carrier, and then, you know, work on contacting all the people that he's been in contact or she's been in contact with. You can nip it in the bud, Peter.
Yeah.
They're going around making these stupid statements like this doctor in Sydney did, and getting headlines and pumping people up, fights in supermarkets. And, you know, let me give you a statistic, Peter. The SARS outbreak, which was about 20 odd years ago, it was 9 months from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
From the time it originated in China, to the time it went through the Western world and was eliminated, it was only 9 months, because they tracked everybody down, the prime carriers, and they got on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one, I don't know why, it's China, you know, to an extent, by letting it get rife before they stepped in, which they didn't do with the SARS. They stepped in right away. And so SARS ended up with less than 10,000 patients, and we're already up to over 100,000 with this coronavirus. But when you lose control of it, as they did in Korea, now in Italy, and Italy's a bit of a joke, Peter. I mean, 10% of the medical staff in northern Italy, where the outbreak is, got coronavirus. What's wrong with their medical system?
Oh boy.
You know, I mean, and the government leaked that they were going to lock down northern Italy. And 10,000 people got on trains and planes and cars to get away from where they were going to lock down. Now, I would say that's a mismanagement situation, Peter.
Well, it's like the old saying, they put the cart before the horse.
Yeah, well, see, the government was forced then, once they realized that the fact that we're going to lock that area down had leaked out and everybody left, they had to lock all of Italy down, which is what they did. You know, so
now they could all come back again.
Yeah, once you can no longer identify the prime carrier and his contacts, as the outbreak in Italy and Korea and Japan, then you've got to start thinking about shutting things down. You know, stopping events, locking areas down, because it gets away from you. But we're not in that phase yet in Australia and in most of in Germany, France, the UK. In Canada and the United States, we're in the phase where we're still able to identify prime carriers.
Sure.
And who they've been in contact with. So I think it's not helpful to the economy, to the markets. I see the poor woman in the newspaper yesterday talking about, you know, the economy hasn't been real good, and now she's got no business in her store, nobody's shopping, nobody's going out. And it's women like this doctor that's creating these problems.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for those small business people, because obviously, you know, as the years have gone by, they haven't been able to create, you know, a huge backup or plans if something goes wrong. And here we are in complete, a complete mess, let's put it that way.
Well, look, even think about it now from a contagion or from a serious disease point of view. We've only got a little around 100 cases in Australia, a little over maybe today. Okay, 85% are asymptomatic or mild. 15% are going to be show symptoms from serious through to critical.
Yep.
So that's 150 people. Now, they just sacked all the Coles and Woolworths and Costco's in Australia, and they've taken millions of toilet paper home, Peter. Okay, for people, there's going to be only 150 people in the outbreak that have symptoms. Now, every year in Australia, we get over a million people with the flu, million and a half. 2 million people in some bad years. That, you know, so we're talking 150 people are going to get the coronavirus compared to 2 million get the flu every year.
Yeah,
so
and we'll have rolls and rolls and rolls everywhere.
No, doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
None
whatsoever.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Mate, we've got to get people to of course, jump on the website and get some organic wine.
We do, Peter. Cellarwines.com.au. Or they can come to the vineyard here and visit us, love to see people, or call us 6574-5275, Peter.
Yeah, morning, buddy.
Buddy's still in purgatory. I've bought a muzzle, which I'm going to make him wear for a while until he learns that sheep are his friends.
Yeah, well, they're fluffy and nice, yeah.
Well, he's been locked up in the sheep pen. His kennel's right in a small paddock. I got 10 sheep in with him, and I noticed yesterday they were almost stepping over him to eat the grass around his kennels.
Maybe he feels like he's being invaded.
Exactly. He's learning sheep are my friends, Peter.
Yeah, good. Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter. We'll get you next week.
Not a problem. Jeff from Acela Wine. That's acelawines.com.au.